Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today, we have a special show for you. Sean, Karen, are you guys excited about our guest?
We are so, so excited about our guest.
Finally, it has happened to me. I got a guest that's just like the same generation, Matt. Finally
for you. Yes, finally someone that you can actually relate to on this show, Sean. We've brought you someone. Her name is Pari Bafna. She is a TikTok creator in the financial literacy space who I actually met over DM through our mutual friend, who's another TikTok creator, a friend of the show.
Billy.
If you're keeping up, the elusive Bill Petit, yes, Sean insists is not a real human.
Her teddy bear friend, Billy, okay. That stuffed animal.
My living human adult friend. But as I always introduce him, he is my alive friend. And his name is Bill. And he introduced us. You, Pari, found him, right? On TikTok. You got in touch with him and he gave me the heads up and was like, this girl's doing cool things. She's only 18. She's giving people financial advice if you want to talk to her. So we had a little chat and I asked her to do the show. And I'm so happy you're here.
Yeah, thank you for having me, everybody. So my name is Pari Bafna. I guess I'll just introduce myself.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I kind of heard about the podcast. I mean, like you said, Billy kind of does philosophical, almost spiritual content a little bit and like deep thinking content. And I really enjoy his stuff. That's kind of my character and who I am. And that's a little bit of like why I got into personal finance was just like having a bunch of epiphanies because of quarantine and stuff like that. So yeah.
So let's go into that. Those epiphanies, like talk about like what actually made you get interested into financial literacy and kind of walk us through that, explain that for us.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I am 18 right now, so I just graduated high school. I had 4 years of high school. And I mean, at the beginning I went into it and I was completely, completely just passionate about going to Harvard, Stanford, Yale, all the Ivy Leagues, at least one of them. I mean, and you know, getting a job after that at maybe Google, Amazon, one of the big, you know, I was going to be a STEM girl, pretty much go into computer science or something like that and get rich. Like that was the plan.
So then when did the switch happen? When did you like, and now start thinking about finance and financial literacy and say, okay, how this factored into even like to your decision-making of thinking is post-secondary education even worth the struggle?
But also what made you decide to teach it? Like not only get into financial literacy, but how did you decide to start teaching it before the college thing? Talk about that.
Yeah. So I was never like, it was always introduced to me in like, I watched Wolf of Wall Street. You know, I know the stereotype of like the typical hedge fund manager, the typical finance guru, the typical businessman. Like there is very much a trope that you see in the media and online. And it's like, so I never like batted my eye at any of these things because I was just like, oh, kind of like it's a man's job. The man does it. But then I started kind of educating myself, and I realized that it's very much the average person should be doing these things so they can actually achieve what they want in life. Like you, and this was all kind of through books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Richest Man in Babylon. I did read these books. I actually went to Barnes and Nobles to study for the SAT and the ACT. So that was where this happened. That was like a little preface to like all the stuff that I'm doing right now. But when it really switched was when quarantine started, and I saw all these people who did go to Ivy Leagues and who did have degrees start to get laid off. These companies that they were hired by just didn't care about them, or the startups that they were working at failed because they had no people. You know, it was just absolutely volatile. And so that's when I started to question the stability of my future, because I was like, I'm thinking that I'm securing my future right now by studying and staying up all night and doing all these things. And I'm thinking that college is the end all be all. Like, once you get in, life is perfect after that. Once you get in, you have everything that you need to succeed. But that's not the truth. I mean, I'll back up here a little bit and just keep talking about the finance aspect of it. But I started realizing that, I mean, I first obviously had to educate myself. That's how I began teaching.
And why yourself? Did it come from your parents, or this is something you just kind of found out on your own?
No, it was all the internet. I used Investopedia, which is probably one of my favorite websites to learn off of. They absolutely simplify everything. There was a couple of YouTubers like Graham Stephan, Gary Vee, but I think that, I mean, we obviously have to be careful with like get rich quick schemes and things like that, because there is a lot of that in the financial realm. And so, I used a lot of credible resources. There's a lot of like reading, like I said, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Benjamin Graham's book, I don't remember the name of it, but like pretty much just learning how to invest and then actually doing it. I downloaded Robinhood earlier in the year, which is an investing, it's an investing platform.
Investing app, right.
Yeah. And at this time, I didn't even know, like I was pretty much just day trading and like having fun with it, which if I don't know, I mean, you guys probably are familiar with, like it's pretty much gambling. Like 90% of day traders lose money. You're doing it because it's a fun thing to do. And I was kind of treating it that way. And it was like that instant gratification kind of thing. So that's how I started with it. And obviously at this point, I was not in a place to teach anybody about their finances. But I mean, ultimately the story just goes, I kept teaching myself. And at one point I hopped onto TikTok just for fun, just because I'd heard about it. I was bored, and I did see a couple finance TikTokers, but they were all men. And I was like, yo, like some of the stuff that they're saying isn't even true. Like, why are they phrasing it as if it's this some big complicated thing? You know, dollar cost averaging doesn't have to be hard, or, you know, like if you day trade, you're not gonna make like 10K in a week. That is not something that you can just project to the world and say that you're gonna do. You know, you can't just sell your course on this thing, on this platform, and then, you know, pretty much scam people. So there's like a lot of that going around. And at this point I was kind of getting away from that whole like day trading dream. I was at one point, I started my own drop shipping store. I was just trying to come up with ways to build several streams of income, and kind of, you know, like these were going to be the things that I was doing.
Let me stop you for a second. You brought up building several streams of income, and commercial breaks are a way we build one stream of our income. So we got to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back with more with Pari Bafna and learning about her journey. So stay tuned for more Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. So the question on the table in this section is college. That's been the traditional path for most people to success. And right now we're here to question that. So I throw that to the floor. Pari, Karen, Sean, let's chop it up.
So, okay, let's give a little bit of just information for listeners.
Let's chop it up by a millennial. Okay, you're a millennial. She's a Z, So let's give our perspectives.
I'm chopping it up. Okay. Well, Pari, you went to University of Minnesota.
Yes, I'm sitting in the dorms right now.
You're sitting in the University of Minnesota currently, and you're 18. This is your first year, your freshman year. You've decided this is also your last year, and that you're piecing out after the 2020-2021 school year. You kind of took a hard left on higher education. And the question is, when did you arrive at that conclusion? And like, did you come in with the intention of piecing out? And what's the plan?
Yeah.
And first of all, Pri, she feels she's like this young, vibrant, hip person. Like if she says these old school things, like piecing out, you can correct her.
You can
correct
to?
Her. She tries to correct Grandpa? Me all the time. Like nobody says piecing out. Like you can correct her, Pri. Don't worry. It's okay because
your children,
the hip. She's like, I'm coming on this show to be hip, Sean.
Before
I'm like,
I have children.
So I don't feel no way correcting this wannabe generational Z person, okay?
You said generational.
She's always included.
Always, she said I'm always included. See, the kids love me.
Right, back to our real rundown here. So Pri, talk about your thought process or your viewpoint on college, the traditional path. What do you think of it?
Of course. So even before I got into TikTok or anything like that, I was starting to question everything, really. I mean, the minute that quarantine hit and coronavirus hit, I was still paying the same for housing. I was still paying the same for classes. I was still paying the same for everything, despite, you know, not having any in-person classes or anything like that. I was still paying the same price for college. And so were so many other of my friends, peers, like my entire year, my entire generation is still having to pay the same amount of money, even though we're getting less of an education than you could get on some online course for maybe $500.
And just to give people an understanding of the cost, I'll let you go back. I just want to, the cost of tuition and fees for 2020-2021 school year was $41,411 in private college, $11,171 for state residents at public colleges, and $26,809 for out-of-state students at state colleges. You know, the Ivy League schools that were mentioned earlier, the Yales, the Harvards, the Columbias, Stanford, MITs, they range from $50,000 to $64,000. So, you know, it is an expensive endeavor. And I'll let you continue, Pri. I just want to drop some stats behind that.
Yeah. And even the way that I was raised, like my dad said, if you get into one of the Ivy Leagues, I will pay every single freaking cent for it. Like that is how much we value that. And the place where I come from, like that is how much we look up to it. Like it's the end all be all. That is the dream life. Like you've made it once you get into one of those schools. So when it really changed was when I was seeing people literally being laid off who had Ivy League degrees, who had really prestigious, prestigious colleges on their resume. Like these companies didn't care about them. And the startups that they were in or like whatever they were doing, it was kind of just failing and going all downhill. It was really like loosely knit together just because we pretty much hit a recession in March. So at this point, I'm kind of researching into it. And it was a lot of research that went into my decision and kind of swayed my thought process. One of the most helpful websites I think I used was Reddit, it's like pretty much a forum where people ask questions. And it dates back to like the early 2000s, people were using this. So I remember reading a thread from, I think it was like 9 years ago or something like that. And someone was asking, and like, I either wanted to be an engineering degree or a computer science degree. And I remember someone asking, and I like looked up this question and I was like, you know, is a job in engineering even worth it? Like, is it prestigious? Like, I want to hear someone's perspective who has lived in this occupation for over maybe like 30 years, who has gone to a good school and who's lived the life that I've wanted to live. And so I was just looking into it. And I remember coming across this forum and the person was pretty much saying like, yeah, when you start off, it's great, it's glamorous. But then it just becomes like any other 9 to 5 and you're just working and you just continue to work. It's the same thing that college prepares you for. It's the sleepless nights. It's the, you know, not so healthy routines. I'm still trying to get out of the mindset of my productivity is my value and actually enjoy my life because this is something that has been taught to me because of college. And so that was one of the things that really, really made me question myself because that is how I viewed it. I viewed like, hey, if I don't do well on this test, I pretty much want to like die. Like I pretty much want to kill myself because dude, like this, my grades are my worth. If I don't have good grades, if I'm not smart, if I don't have something like a certificate, I am not valuable, which is obviously not true, but it is something that is so ingrained into so many students across the United States and internationally, of course. Mm-hmm.
Did you see that kind of happening no matter what though, right? Like there's this something that happens over and over and over again that I found in my life being only 1 or 2 years older than you is fun, relax. but you know, you said once you go to this Ivy League school, it's like you've arrived, but there's a million things that are just like that where you're like, if I just get this one thing, I'm going to feel like I've arrived. I'm going to feel like I made it. And what happens is you get there and you realize that you haven't made it. You've just reached this next milestone and then the standards just, the goalposts just move, right? There's no consistent standard for making it. Like you could talk to someone who has $100 million and they'll talk to some, they'll look at someone who has $500 million and be like, I want to be like that guy, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, it's limitless, right?
Limitless. So by opting out of college and you're like, look, these aren't the goalposts that matter to me right now. But if you're talking about that lifestyle of attaining and like striving, hustling, are you actually removing yourself from that by not continuing with college, or are you just replacing it with another kind of grind?
I mean, the hustle is there whether or not I'm in college, right? Like the hustle culture is always there, whether the hustle don't stop. If I wanted to be the top student at Harvard, if I wanted to get a job at these places that I wanted to get a job at, I would have to do more sleepless nights and more studying and joining more extracurriculars. I wouldn't have had the time of the day to eat. I think that the hustle would have affected me worse if I stayed in college. Go ahead.
So your premise of like not going down this route, you just think like cost versus reward is not worth it from like different perspectives, from a health perspective, from a work perspective. You feel like you can receive better returns on your investment, which is you. I always say the first thing you should invest in is yourself by going a different route, right? Is that your belief?
It's limitless if I drop out, because here's the thing. Is when I'm in college, and if I stayed, there's like a specific set of degrees that you should stay in college for. If you want an engineering degree, if you want, you know, like if you want to be a doctor, even if you want to be a lawyer, I know you don't need to have a degree for that, but like it's still really good to be surrounded by all those people. There are,
you don't need a degree to be a lawyer. I don't mean it. No, keep going.
You only need to pass the bar. You actually don't need an undergraduate degree and you don't need to go to law school. You just have
got
to take a bar exam. Yeah, it's a whole racket.
Yeah. But there are several occupations that you can go into that you know, they're set in place. They're very much part of the society we live in. They're very much like institutionalized things that if you want to do, you have to pass this. But, you know, business, computer science, even like, I don't know, like philosophy. There are also.
Oh, you hit a chord. Don't say that. That's Karen's degree right there.
No, it was worth it. No, I'll say this too. I have no memory of why I chose philosophy. I really don't. I was like, should I do English? No, anybody can do that. Should I do communications? I don't even know what that means. And then somehow, and I knew I wasn't going to go into STEM, and there's no set pre-law major at NYU. So I was like, all right, I just settled on philosophy. Like, I can't even remember why. And it was the best choice because for a non-STEM major, it is honestly, maybe there's another one that I'm missing, but I'm pretty sure I know it all. It is the only not STEM major that you can declare that teaches you things that you, number one, genuinely didn't know ahead of time, not just a book you haven't read or whatever, but like concepts that blow your mind that you've never heard of, right? Like it's almost trippy what philosophy does for you, and teaches you how to think. I find that all these like kind of fluffy nonsense majors, and if you majored in these things and loved it, like I apologize. This is just how I saw it at the time and still currently see it 100%. That if you're going to major in English, they're going to tell you to read a bunch of books, tell you when you've written a good or bad essay, but not tell you how to think. And philosophy tells you how to think. It's actually so
rigorous. Okay, we're not talking about philosophy. It's two black guys with good credit. It's a financial.
Okay.
But so, you know, I'm listening to what you have to say, and like I part agree, part may not so agree. And, you know, I agree. Like, for example, I graduated with a degree in finance and marketing, right? And I felt like when I graduated, I didn't own something. I didn't have a doctorate. I didn't have a degree in engineering. I didn't specialize. And I think specialize brings a certain return on your investment. I still felt like I was like this free bird where I got this education, but, you know, I didn't say like a plumber is does plumbing, an electrician does electrician. So I agree with you. If you're going to go to college, I would tell my kids, encourage them the same way, specialize in something. Getting these degrees that are just widespread, I don't think it's finite enough. But I do believe that higher education, especially for, you know, people of color, I think that, you know, it's a way that makes us, it gives us, allows us access to certain things that we may not have been, but we may not have had access to. Because, you know, a lot of like the younger generation kids, like, will look up to guys like Mike Zuckerberg and look up to Steve Jobs and look up to Bill Gates and say, hey, look at, they dropped out of college. Look how far they got. But if you study all their stories, their consistency in their stories is like, they did do a first year of college. They did go to Ivy League schools. They did meet, surround themselves, and network with people that were helped them advance and be able to, like, all their great ideas need, a good idea is only as good as the people surrounding and who are funding and who are pushing it, you know? And I truly believe, like myself, if I came up with the idea of Facebook or the idea of Microsoft, I probably would not have had the success that they had because I wouldn't be able to have had the funding and surrounding of people to help push my agenda forward. So I think for, you know, people of color, like, turning away from college and looking the other way is a much higher proposition than, you know, people that aren't, that have access, you know?
Yeah. I mean, from the point of view of, like, you know, a woman who is a person of color as well, I think that you do have a point in that so many people have gotten success. Like, so many, there's so many stories of all these races and all these people who come from different countries, especially like international students and stuff like that, finding so much potential in college and finding that network. And that is completely valid. For my experience in high school, I started going to networking events. I started going to business events. I started going to like startup incubators, startup events, hackathons at like starting in sophomore year. And so I had already started to build up my network of people who eventually I like nurtured that connection, and eventually I was able to get jobs from them. And so like in my experience, I've gotten all of the benefits earlier and not even needed college, you know, from just seeking it on the internet. There's a website called Eventbrite. And if you just go on there and search up some event that you want to go to or something that you want to learn about. I know a couple of weeks ago, I did one for real estate in Texas. And now I have a list of contacts of people, because I'm planning to move to Texas, Dallas, Texas, a list of contacts of people from Texas who I now know who can, you know, potentially be a business
partner. Why Texas? Why Dallas?
The housing market is pretty much a gold mine right now. That is the talk of the time, kind of. So, I mean, obviously, I did research going into it, but
all right, real estate tip alert, Dallas. All right, look into Dallas. Folks.
Originally, it was going to be Los Angeles. That was my dream ever since I was like really young, but it's just not realistic to go there. I'd probably end up on the streets. So, there's a giant homeless crisis going on right now. There's people living in the streets. It's terrible. All the way to like Beverly Hills, even just because they extended their transit system. But
are you making money now? Like, are you working and do you have income?
Yeah, I have income from TikTok. And I also, I mean, I got into real estate a little bit, but my ultimate plan, I do still want to like work, is to go into the mortgage industry. And in this December, I'm going to get my license just to be like, you know, a professional, actual mortgage loan officer.
So that'll be your skill set then?
Yes.
So, and it's almost like I consider like a trade school. And even when you look at trade, yeah, like the cost of entry is so much more, it's more less expensive. Yeah. It's more finite. And, you know, I understand that path. Like, I understand, like, you know, let me get a little more finite. Let me get what I need to know and get out into the workforce. But I also believe too, like, you know, if say, for example, you just don't like real estate after a while, you don't like what you're doing. Like, how do you transition? How do you pivot? Like, what's plan B? I think education always gives you opportunities and options. They say you can never take away that from you, you know?
Like, I mean, if I don't like it, I can go back.
Pivot, educate like yourself.
It,
Eventbrite.
I have the, yeah, exactly. Eventbrite is great. They should sponsor me, but I have a great, just because of TikTok and like my influence, I have a great network of people from all sides of the world. Like even the way that I met Bill was through, you know, like philosophy. and he is a lawyer. And I know doctors, I know real estate agents, I know lawyers, I know freaking like private equity, like investors. Like I literally know so many people of so many different occupations, and that's what you always have to do. Like be open-minded to meeting everyone. And whether you're or not you're in college or whether or not you're like in high school, that is just like the mindset that you should go into it with, is like, go make friends. And that's when you'll get, you know, whatever you're doing, even if you are in an Ivy League, if you have that mindset, then you will get the network that you wanted to get. You know what I mean?
Well, go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
So, you know, you mentioned doctors, lawyers, and all these other careers. Would you consider yourself a TikToker? Is that your career? Is that your resume? And I need to know this TikTok hustle. Like, mm-hmm. I want to know how, like, is this a real, like, full-grown salary people can make, or is this like, you know, like talk about this new way of making money and communication with people?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's the potential that it can have. So right now there is the TikTok Creator Fund, which gives you an amount, and there's like sponsorships. I have a sponsorship with Public right now, which is kind of like Robinhood. It's an investing platform. I just made a video about that yesterday, and I've already made like almost $1,000 off of just that one sponsorship. And even with these sponsorships, I create, you being in the finance like realm, you create a connection with that company. So now I have insider connections with Oberlo, which is like Shopify's, pretty much like Shopify's like child company, which is like a dropshipping. It's just like a dropshipping brand. But like, and when earlier on in the year, I had a startup and I actually had them sponsor one of the events. So like, for example, like there's an example of one of those instances of like networking working out. Sorry, but what was your original question?
I'm just wondering about how people monetize TikTok and like, yeah, what kind of numbers do you need for this to turn into a money-making operation?
Yeah, there's a place in the bio where you can just put like a link. And so from there, I've just put a whole set of links to, you know, maybe my website. I'm in the works of making a course. In the future, there'd probably be like a podcast, and I'm sure that you guys do sponsorships too as well. But like TikTok itself, obviously, if you don't know how to use it, if you just have a following, there's so many people who are missing out on the money that you can make. But if you know how to do it and you keep learning, eventually you can use it to bring traffic to other things that will bring you money. For example, I'm right now bringing people over to YouTube, where I'm planning to monetize. I'm planning to have just several YouTube videos just teaching people about personal finance. Once those are up, that's a stream of passive income. I can just continue doing the sponsorships that I'm doing. Go ahead.
So your core is like feeding out of TikTok, right? Do you think that will bring you the type of stability or income that you're looking for? What is your projection as far as income you think you can, like, conservatively, I don't need to know hard numbers, that you're going to be generating like within the next 1 to 2 years from TikTok?
From TikTok? I mean, just TikTok itself, or like
everything? Yeah, and then you can get into like the other streams that you feel is going to, like, we had James Altucher on the show last week, and a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned like the spokes and then the hub. So it seems like TikTok is your hub, and then you're creating like multiple spokes, right, from TikTok. So I just kind of want to understand that as far as how you envision it.
Yeah. So right now, TikTok would probably, like, I could easily make 100K every year just out of TikTok by itself, including like sponsorships and just what they're giving me normally. If I was
and people, sports. She's first year, she's out of high school 1 year, freshman in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And even more than that, I mean, like, I never got into this, but the only reason that I'm considering the mortgage industry, and like, this is invaluable to me. The only reason that I'm considering the mortgage industry, or I ever even considered real estate, was because of meeting people on TikTok who told me all the insider scoops, who were already mortgage loan originators, who were already, you know, MLOs, who literally told me like, this is where the money is at. No, don't go into real estate. It's too saturated, because initially I wanted to literally be a real estate agent living in Los Angeles. That wouldn't have worked out. And the only way that I figured that out was making friends in the mortgage industry through TikTok. So Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how much my life is going to change within the next even couple of months. But the way that I see it is I can make, right now I'm making about $60 a month off of like YouTube, which is not a lot, but the potential that it has, once I start to convert more followers, I only have 2 videos up so far. So it's, you know, it's not even that impressive, but like, I, at one point I was at, you know, like 10 followers on TikTok. So for me, I can't really,
you don't think it. You don't think that market is saturated, like the TikTok, the YouTuber world? Like, I think all of this Generation Z's are all going in that direction. Like, you don't think that could be a saturated market as well?
It's saturated, but there's always a place. So I don't see very many female people of color finance teachers. I think that I have something to bring because
especially at your age too, youthful.
Yeah,
that's another part of it.
People who are my age, I can speak the language. Like I just did a video on how to invest and people are commenting, they don't teach this at school. Why did I never learn this? Why? Okay, great. I know the Pythagorean theorem. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? Because, you know, like I am broke and I know the Pythagorean theorem. Like, thank
don't
you.
Don't knock the Pythagorean theorem. Even I learned the Pythagorean theory.
It's a very basic math thing.
So if college was free, like the Bernie Sanders way, college is free. What do you think now?
You college still think is it? Free.
All the schools are free. What do you think? Bernie Sanders all the way. All day, all long.
I mean, it has to be a neutral decision for people to go. I obviously can't speak for everybody, but
for you,
don't just go because, I mean, even for everyone, like, don't just go because people are telling you to go or it's like the
but
good
for you, place. Would you go if it was free?
No, I think that for me, it'll be a waste of time just because, I mean, the way that it's set up, even right now, I had to take half the credits that I'm taking just to get out of taking like useless classes. Like I do not want to take calculus. I would have to take it again, actually. I already know calculus, you know, but there's just these like small rules that kind of push you back. Like you have to take this many courses in this one thing, or you have to take, I don't want to take English again. I already learned English. I took AP English. I've read every single book that's out there. You don't know how, like you don't know what I want to know. I want to choose my own pathway. A lot of colleges don't have that. If that changed, there would be, my answer would be a little bit different.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Like, I think you're right. Like, it is archaic. The path to a degree probably does need to be upgraded because I'm sure it's the same path that Matt had in his days and Karen, you know. So I think yes, probably the path to get there.
I had a young person path.
So I agree with you because you know it should be more relevant to today's market, you know. Because I always like, you know, think like even I think going to a 4-year college just shows to me a certain sense of commitment. But if you're already going into it saying like the path to that commitment is just trivial, I get that argument. I get that argument. And I think the schools, I think it comes down to business and money. I think there's a function of money behind it that allows them to profit from this current way in which higher education is created. Right. But I think if it was a little more finite, yeah, there'd probably be less profits for them, higher faster graduation rates.
And now with social distancing, you don't even get to enjoy all the frat parties and it's like
I haven't been to one party.
I'm saying so the social aspect is damaged.
Right. Well, I mean, look, these colleges and universities, even the state ones, are businesses. They're for-profit businesses, right? That's not a nonprofit designed to, it's not a temple of education. It's a business. So they want to draw you in. Like not every single person, and they don't, this is not their concern. It's not their goal to have every single person have like a deep, transcendent educational experiences and come out with concrete skills. They want you to sign up for classes, pay your tuition, and take the credits that you need to take to graduate and get out and then have kids and for them to also go to college, you know? Like, it's not really for you. It can be for you if you make it.
Yeah, we wouldn't have a military if it wasn't for college, that kind of thing. Like, there's so many loopholes and there's so many benefits that our country gets from sending all these kids to college and selling this kind of dream. But
at the same time, people have achieved the dream through college, right? Like, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's good for some people. It's still right for some people. And it is like an ancient system from when Sean was young, you know, for the very elderly, but still, you know, it's worth something. Like my college education, I'm with you. Like Puri, we were a lot alike in high school. And if TikTok were around when I was 18, I mean, I was like such an idiot. I was like a little baby. I probably still would have gone the 4-year route as like a, you know, like to drag my heels on the real world, but it would have been an option, right? We didn't even have the option, which is so crazy. But I feel that it's like, do you spend the 4 years, $250,000 to learn how to read a book in English, or do you start making money and go live the life that you want?
Like I said, I think the degree makes you part of a certain club. And you know, a question I have for you, Puri, is how did you get your parents to buy into the idea of you dropping out of college, or did they buy into the idea of you dropping out of college?
I didn't speak of it until I had something to show for it. I didn't even talk about it. I mean, like I was considering it before I even had a following on TikTok, but once I hit not even like the follower count, just like once I started getting these connections that were eye-opening for me, once I started talking to people, once I started just doing things that college students weren't even doing yet, then I think it sold it for them. Also, like—
So they're 100% on board with your decision?
Yeah, I mean, they're literally just saying like, whatever you're doing, go like live at this point. I think the turning point happened when I started teaching my dad about stocks instead of him teaching it to me. That's genuinely cool. Like, that's the point where it was like, huh, I didn't realize how much power I had over the decision. Like, I would have done it anyway, even if they said no, they would have come around eventually. I think that like, obviously familial decisions have a big impact on what kids do. But this was something that I very much had to do.
But so, the option of going back is still there if you need to, right? You're not closing that door.
I don't think
so. I'm trying to hold
that
on.
I will. I'm like, I just see more of a benefit with not going. Like, even if I had to switch my occupation to computer science, for example, even if I wanted to start coding, I would just take an online class, and I already have a resume. Like, I already have TikTok. Like, I have this many followers. If you hire me, boom, you have access to this many people where I will literally promote your company.
So not being part of that exclusive club of graduating with a degree is not something that concerns you anymore.
I mean, I have my own club now.
Exactly. She's in her own exclusive club.
This club is better, but because it's not filled with, there's tens of thousands and thousands and thousands of kids who are in college. I don't think it's very much exclusive.
I'm with you, Puri. Your club is way more exclusive. Way more unique, but that doesn't mean everyone can create their own unique. Everyone can't do what she's doing. I'm seeing someone who is very focused and mature at a young age with direction. Sometimes if you're at 18, 19, 20, you don't have the direction, the focus, or the maturity to know where you want to go. So maybe school is your best choice to kind of learn, grow, and kind of figure yourself out. But if you have your vision in place, and you're already finding success and it's growing, like I'm totally in agreement that is a great, an alternative path worth going down.
All right, not to be the devil's advocate, but you know, I manage and assess risks. I'm listening to your plan, your goal. I'm just looking at it from the risk perspective.
Of course.
For some reason, you lose your TikTok followers. Where does that position you? You have zero TikTok followers.
I would still...
That's a reality. What is that? Okay, Matt, you're not her. Yeah, obviously, 80 years older. Let's let her answer.
Like I said, I still have a legit occupation that I want to do, which is enter the mortgage industry. And that doesn't rely on me having a following. That just relies on like the genuine connections that I make, my ability to communicate with other people. So I would be fine. I would just start.
Okay, so let's think macro. Let's dig a little deeper, because you know, one thing that can outweigh education and theory is experience, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're entering the workforce. When Matt and I entered the workforce, we were like part of this whole Y2K thing, and all these jobs were around Y2K and .com and transitioning from 1996 to 2000. So you're at, like you mentioned earlier, and I was listening, you're at like, everybody's saying, don't do real estate, do mortgage originations, because you know why? Because interest rates are super low right now. So everybody, myself and the grandpa, are trying to refinance and take advantage of this low interest market, because the Federal Reserve has announced that for the next year and a half, they're not raising interest rates. So hence the mortgage origination market is very hot. It's something that's hot. But that trend, through experience, I can tell you, is not going to continue. So then what happens next?
I mean, I think that mortgages and, like, you know, like selling money in of itself will always be a thing. Like, houses weren't made for people to live in them. They were made for a way for banks to get money, like that whole mindset. And that's kind of what, you know, they're not a nice, cozy place to live. They're legitimate assets. We just call them houses. And like, that is something that I've had to learn all along. But to me, they'll always be there. And like, yeah, for example, say the mortgage industry goes under.
It did in 2008. People weren't.
Yeah, it did.
Right.
And even since then, they've placed so many things to prevent it. And obviously we're susceptible to something like that happening again. I'm not saying that that's not possible. I mean, in the event that happens, I think, and I have enough, there's just so much knowledge on the internet that I have I have so much confidence in the fact that I will be able to find my way out. Even if it's tough for a couple of months, I just sit down, download a course for computer science, learn that ish. Within 1 month, I'll be able to get a job.
You're going to university right now. You're going to university of internet. Like, I mean, that's your school.
Of course, another path.
And you're just learning how to navigate and around that. And you're creating your ideas and your way of living and your lifestyle and direction through the internet.
Through her own choice. She chose this topic she wanted to learn instead of being dictated by the university.
I hear you, Grandpa. I hear you.
Don't cut me off. I'm just making a counterpoint. I've heard you ramble on about why you're trying to push her back to your old archaic way. I'm saying if anyone is equipped to pivot, if a certain market or if a certain industry were to go down, she's already said at the outset, her game isn't built off TikTok. She just has used it. She was hustling before TikTok. The hustle don't stop.
For the record, Pari, you're saying all the right answers. I find you to be very mature for 18. I definitely want to check your ID before we come off this show because I find you to be very mature and you're giving answers that's making a stubborn old man like me think about it, you know. But I think you have your plan, you're set, you're determined, you're driven. I always think it starts with confidence and you are your own. I tell everybody, your first business is you. And how you represent yourself, how you carry your business, how you're able to create that business is what will determine your success. And I can see that you are creating a really sound business with you. Your brand Pari, I'm sold on, you know.
Right.
But I just...
She's not saying no to education.
Brand Karen, I'm questionable. Brand Matt, I'm kicking it out the door.
She's not saying no to education. She's doing a different kind of education that's more tailored to her. I mean, it's not like, you know, when you were a kid, Sean, in the 1910s and 20s, when if you didn't go to school, you didn't have shoes on your feet and you were disowned by your parents. It's another generation. You get that, right? So have you heard of the internet?
I just complimented the young woman. Why do you have to kick sand on me now? I just complimented Pari.
Let me do my Sean impersonation. So Pari, if they stop making widgets, what are you going to do?
Sorry, Pri, for their ignorance. I manage risk. Okay, they don't.
Sean had to walk 5 miles in the snow to school uphill ways
without shoes.
Without shoes.
And I made it, Pri. I made it to the point now. I have multiple shoes, Pari, and my multiple brownstone. Okay,
facts.
I have 5% left on my laptop. I don't know how much longer.
Well, we should wrap this up. But I do think that there's a lot of takeaways that old and young can learn from hearing your story, Pari. I'm impressed, I think, as we all are, with your confidence and your vision and also with your TikTok platform. So congratulations on all of that.
Thank you.
And I don't think there's any right or wrong in your decision, Pari. And I think what the lesson to me is learning is that, you know, to get to where you get to make this decision, you did your homework.
Yeah,
it wasn't a rational decision. It wasn't something you just ran off the top of your head and said, I'm going to do this. No, you did your homework. And any person, regardless of age, has to respect that. And I respect the fact that you did your homework. You made this decision. I think as a young adult, it's your life. You make the choices that you make. And I support you.
Put some respect on her name.
Yeah. I just wanted to finish off by saying one last thing. This is specifically to you, Sean. if no, it's not attacking you. I genuinely agree with one thing that you're saying, and it's that, like, every morning I wake up and I think about, like, what would have happened if quarantine had never existed, if coronavirus had never existed, like, where would I be now? Because that's what gave me the time to do this research. That's what gave me the time to not be stressed out. That's what gave me, like, time to sleep at night and actually have, like, a creative mind and make videos. And I would very much still be doing computer science and probably be going to the U. And that is okay, because in 5 years, in like 4 years, at some point I would have figured it out. I think that
you'll only be 22. Exactly. Yeah, but exactly. I agree with you. I agree with you. And I think a lot of people, and I teach in all my classes, like, you know, your most valuable asset is time. And in any current situation, take advantage of that. You know, Karen came on our show because of COVID, basically, not because of, but during COVID. So it's like people, and I tell people, it's adapting and changing to your current environment. Yeah, and I think what you did, listen, I wasn't 100% sold on bringing an 18-year-old girl on to talking financial literacy, but speaking to you now, I'm sold. I, you know, I apologize, Matt and Karen. And I think that you are exceptional and I support what you're doing. I'm going to follow your behind on TikTok, not literally behind. Sorry, I'm gonna follow you. Let me say the politically correct thing. I don't know if that's right. Sorry, Karen. I'm gonna follow you on TikTok.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Where can people find you? Where can they find your TikTok? Where can they find your social?
Yeah, my TikTok handle is Pari, P A R I I dot Bafna. So that's B A F N A. I don't think there's a lot of people named Pari, so it should come up when you look up the first name, but yeah. And then my YouTube is just Pari Bafna. It's just my name. And then Instagram, Pari.Bafna. Those are all the places.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Pari, what about Sean's on MySpace? What about, do you have your MySpace account?
MySpace got shut down a few years ago. I never made one.
Yeah, and Matt, give her your AOL email address, please.
I'm barely able to use Facebook, you guys. Like,
Oh my God.
That is such a millennial thing.
Hey, relax.
No, I can't figure it out. It's
awesome. Oh, that's hilarious. All right. Well, thank you so much, Pari.
Yeah, thank you. That is different. I mean, I'm not so much on Facebook, but I do 100% know how to use it because it was made for me. But I'll tell you what, I will show you the secrets of Facebook if you teach me how to make a single talk.
I will. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, deal. Sean and Matt will explain what all that means later.
Yeah, you guys can join in if you want. I was saying you guys should put this podcast on TikTok. Like, it would do really well, especially if you did a couple cuts from the show from like different episodes. Maybe it was 15 seconds long. Like, maybe
it's can we part you in to edit and put it in TikTok?
I can definitely help you guys out.
Oh, that'd be great. All right. We love it.
All right, consider it.
See, the old meeting the young. This is how we connect. TikTok, you don't stop. Hit it.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Wow, that was energy, guys. I thought that was really good. I'm serious. I was really, she really convinced me to open my eyes. You know, I'm glad we do shows like this, because it just makes you see how the other side thinks. And I think, you know, the difference in our time, my time for during her time, is that she has access to all these great resources that I'd have to go to the library to go to in my days. And she's really did her homework and leveraged these things to say that a professor taught me, if you know the skill of learning, if you can teach yourself how to learn, you need college. If you know how to learn and how to convince yourself how to learn, then you don't need college. And she's one that's courageous and bold and teaches herself how to learn. And I think she's someone that's going to adapt and maneuver and succeed in any environment that she tries, with or without college.
And every era, every generation, you're going to have people who might find an alternative path. You're going to find people who are exceptional, people who are able to do impressive things. And she's, you know, for her generation, she's one of those people. I'm just impressed with her mentality. I'm impressed with the ingenuity and the way she's taking this COVID pandemic time and created a whole new path. But, you know, I don't even think it's a generational thing for me so much as it's cyclical. There's always going to be impressive people, and she's one of them. She just happens to be young, and I celebrate it. So,
and I'm going to say this, you know, it's not even, I don't think it's, I think that she is a special person. You know, you meet someone and you're like, you just know that they're going to succeed because they have that drive, and it's more about the drive than anything else. I think she's one of them, but more than that, more than it being generational or whatever, you know, we all have these resources available to us. Actually, any one of us can be on TikTok right now. Any one of us can be learning the mortgage origination industry or whatever online if we wanted to, or learning how to code. It's not specific to 18-year-olds, right? It's just that we didn't take this as an automatic option when we were that age. And, you know, even when I was in college and social media was like kicking off and there was Facebook and this and that, you weren't going to make a living off of it. That pivot of monetizing and professionalizing the things that we are all going to do anyway, which is connect with other people online, that's new. And I think it's so smart to take advantage of that.
Absolutely. I think it was a great episode. And I think it's a great episode too, that parents, like when your kids are having these ideas and we still have this old foundation of school, it's not just listen. Just take the time to listen to what they're doing. And if you have a child that really has that initiative and drive to really succeed, give them the opportunity to. Because if she was my daughter, and as much as I would want her to go to an Ivy League school, there's no way I would stop her momentum. No way. Mm-hmm.
Sean. I love if all you listeners out there were on our call yesterday. He's talking about just listen. I'm with you, Sean. I like that you can't.
That's what real business people do.
I know. Let me make my point. I am complimenting you, but I'm also enjoying it, because yesterday you were very hardcore on a, you know, a different tip, but right now you've come full circle, and I think it's dope. So that's it.
No. Okay, I'm dope. Yeah. Okay, great. So as I say every week, tbgwgc@gmail.com. If you have any questions or answers, or you just want to comment on the show, please leave us a comment on anywhere you listen to our show, Apple preferably. And thank you, man. This was a great show. As I say every week, keep your money in your damn pocket. And I'm out. I'm Sean Linda from Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
And I'm Karen Margolis, an official third of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. You can find me online if you so wish. Karen Margolis, KerenMargolis, or send an email to our Two Black Guys email address. I'll get it that way too. And as I always say, be Black and have great credit.
And I'm Matt Smith, the other half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. And like Marie, I'm about to take over TikTok. So pull up on TikTok. Come see me. And I'm out.
Oh my God.
Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.